Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bond Podcast. This is episode 44 of a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Engine. And I've started putting the episode numbers in the opening spiel. It trips me up every time because I got that down, but now I have to try to fix it.
This is episode like 86, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 44.
Oh, 200.
And when we get to 200, then we'll have a little celebration. Anyway, my name is Ben. With me, as always, is Cole Hornaday.
Hey there, Nicole I'm Mr. Lamb. Interrupter.
Yes, you are. Nicole Lamb.
Hi.
And Chris Casso.
Hello.
Alrighty. So, how is everybody this fine evening?
Cool.
Good. Are we cold? It's getting cold.
It is kind of
getting
chilly. It's kind of cold in here, you guys. It's
not cold in here.
Yeah,
it's
no, it's actually
in
I am cold.
In my
cold
heart.
In the store.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Chris.
Or is that my soul? I forget.
Yeah, I wear the cap and the scarf and the jacket pretty much all winter long.
Yeah.
People come in and they're like, "Are you cold?" And I'm like, "Get used to it. This is the next 6 months."
There's like an Onion article I saw on online. It's like a girlfriend wears blanket for the next 7 months or something like that.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, the Onion is published out of Wisconsin. Of course she's going to be wearing it for 7 months. That's not funny. That's reality.
That's just how you do.
All right. So last week we were talking about, I kind of derailed the conversation and admitted that I sometimes don't know how to read comics. But so today we're going to have an Explain to Ben segment where if I want to, it's sort of related to that. If I want to jump into a comic, let's say I want to jump into Batman, or I want to jump into a legacy comic that's been around for a while, maybe something that's been rebooted, should I start at the very beginning? And the reason I bring this up is not because I'm looking for an actual comic to get into, or even like a random comic to get into. I sometimes scour the comic book subreddit to find news, or to look to find like rapid fire questions for you guys. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, a lot of the questions are like, "I really want to get into Wolverine. Where should I start?" Mm-hmm. "I really want to get into Batman. Where should I start?" So, just as a general rule, do you always start at the beginning?
It just depends on the person, because the thing is, I
knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's true. It just, because the thing is, like, let's say Wolverine, for example. There's so many just self-contained stories, and part of the allure to him way about a while back was that no one knew his origin. So it's just like, start wherever, you know.
He was a man of mystery. That's what was so cool about him.
Yeah, find something that
his
looks
good. His name wasn't even Logan. Logan was the name they gave him because they found him in the Logan Mountains.
Yeah.
You know? And that
I
was
did not know that.
Yeah. And he but we knew he was old.
Right.
We just didn't know how old he was. And that was awesome about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was short.
And that's shattered now.
Yeah, totally. Because he became so popular.
Right.
And
had to give him origin.
And a lot of Batman you can do the same thing to, except the new 52 does have a continuity, or like a chronology rather.
I mean,
but Ben is asking, like, are you asking if you discover a character that interests you, or a series that interests you?
Yeah, let's say you're reading a book, something like The Avengers, where there's a lot of different characters who have their own story.
And a lot of history.
I generally suggest start it with a volume one of something.
Yeah,
yeah. Sure. I mean, you could go, there are current reprints called the Epic Collections right now that start you at the very beginning. So mm-hmm. if you wanted mm-hmm. to, you can. But there's just some people who are like, "Oh, but I don't want that old timey stuff." So that's what, that's the thing. Some people are like, "Well, I want to begin where the beginning, but I don't want to begin where it begins." So it's just like,
the beginning.
Down
the
to
beginning.
The person, you know.
Yeah. And if you feel inspired to get hardcore, you know, both Marvel and DC have reprinted what they call, or what we all call, these phone book editions that are super inexpensive black and white reprints of older stuff. And one collection of essentials that I enjoyed thoroughly was the Fantastic Four essentials, because mm-hmm. I've always loved the Fantastic Four. I will never be able to afford to, you know, buy those back issues that Jack Kirby drew in the 60s. But, you know, the reprint collections were thoroughly satisfying read for me and really fun. And I felt like I was actually combing through history, and it gave me some perspective on the characters and reinforce my love of the characters, actually.
And when you're done with it, you could give it to your kid as a coloring book. You know, it's only $16.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cheap. Yeah, the reboots. Sometimes those are things you can jump on as a number one.
Uh-huh.
It's usually like a new story arc. Sometimes it's not.
Right. Yeah.
So it just depends.
What I would do is because, so like you could start at the first volume of Brian Michael Bendis's run, which is like 8 years long, or the first of Jonathan Hickman's, or the first of Kurt Busiek's. And I would ask, I would try to get to know what you like first. And then I'd be like, you sound like a Bendis guy. I'll give you Bendis.
You're going to profile me?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I profile all my readers.
It's, and that way you'll enjoy what you read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the human version of the Amazon search engine.
Oh,
okay?
Completely. So, customers who have purchased this also have purchased.
Yeah, right. Because if I ask you like, oh, did you read Dark Knight? And you're like, I hated it. Then it's like, I instantly know 50 things not to give you.
All right.
You know, or other way around. You know, that's the thing. I will recommend things that I hate to people because they told me like, oh, I loved Civil War. It's like, aha, okay. I know where we're going now, you know, or somebody's
get
just,
out of my store.
Or some, you know, somebody's just like, I want something that's harder than The Walking Dead. Oh, well, have you read Crossed, you know, or something like that, yeah. You know? I know, yeah,
and
you know.
Worst case That's scenario, you hissing. Pick up, like, you know, Batman number 36, and you're like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Then you just come in, and you go, where do I backtrack to the beginning of the story arc? You know, where do I begin? It's what kids do.
Yeah.
It's the kid method.
Yeah, I find
they find a thing, and that looks cool, I'm going to read that, and then they're like, I want more, what is this thing?
Yeah. I find kids have an easier time than adults. Mm-hmm. You know, you give a kid a thing and they like then they absorb through osmosis. You know, like kids learn every Pokemon within a day because all the other kids know it somehow. You know, So it's just like, okay, I'm going to give you Marvel Team Up number 35 because it's got the Beast and Spider-Man. They're like, awesome, and then suddenly they know who Fin Fang Foom is like 2 days later.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like it's adults that tend to have like a problem. Like, well, I want to do it, but I don't want to put effort into it. Give it to me on a platter.
Yeah.
You know?
I recently had a customer who came in who was new to comics, and I gave him a brief overview of how, like, trades work and how singles work, and then a few different titles. And some of them, like, you know, Hickman stuff is more, it's got a lot going on in it. But then, like, Saga is, I think, a really great, successful book because it's pretty simple, it's really beautiful, and it's something that you can just immediately go into. So I saw the eyes glazing over for him, and I just said, Saga.
Yeah.
Just Saga, you know, and go from there. And he came back and got like a second volume, like less than a week later, you know. So
It's so much easier with like non-superhero genre things because then you start to explain almost all of Image and you're like, well, they're like novels. So you really would start at the first Harry Potter book. You wouldn't just start with the Deathly Hallows.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, and people like instantly like, oh, I get that. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. It's when you get into spandex tights that things like, well, this is conditional to did you read Crisis on Infinite Earths? Well, not that Superman, but the other Superman did that, you know. So it's just like, meh.
Comics are confusing.
Yes.
they can get convoluted.
Yeah.
Easy.
Very easy. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So explain to bedtime.
Yes.
All right.
So the short of it is just ask me what you specifically want.
But it's also, I mean, I think it harkens back to our conversation on completism. And I'm such a completist. I would want to start at the very beginning, you know, even if I have to read Action Comics number one digitally, just so I can see that story.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get my hands on the physical book, but you know, I want to see all of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gosh darn it! All right. So this next segment, we do it every once in a while. But we're going to play it differently this time. It's called Rapid Fire for All. And that's just because I wanted to try it out. Normally with Rapid Fire, I just give one person a question and they answer it as quickly as they can. And then I move on to another person and another question. But this time, and I don't tell anybody what the questions are in the beginning. But this time I did actually tell them what the questions were so they had time to prepare. And so I'm going to ask everybody these questions. Let's start with Mr. Cole Hornaday. You're the first contact for an alien race that has visited Earth. Which comic do you give them as an offering of peace?
Oh.
And keep in mind, there's no right answer for this.
As an offering of peace.
You happen to have an infinite, all of your comics with you, and you can pull one at any time.
Bone.
Bone. And why is that, sir?
Because who's the artist thing?
Jeff Smith.
Bone is a deceptively complex storyline about three brothers. The illustrations are they hearken to Pogo, who did who?
Walt Kelly.
Walt Kelly, thank you. Yeah, you're catching me off guard here. So,
okay.
it's a sweet story that deals with a lot of human foibles, but told through a filter of very non-human looking people. It's a fantasy, but there's also a lot of moral plays that go in it. And it can be exceptionally moving, surprisingly moving. It's one of those kind of comic books that plays to the lowest and highest common denominator at the same time, young and old. But also, I think one of the things I love about Bone is that it's a great comic book that shows you the best of who we are.
Cool. All right, Nicole, do you have one?
My first thought was Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl.
Huh. Yeah, is that yours?
I had a kind of a twofer, so you got half of it.
I was motioning to Chris, like, you and I will be the same.
It depended on what aliens were showing up, so I'll get to that.
I guess secondarily, maybe Lumberjanes, because friendship to the max, you
right,
know, like
right.
anything can
Excellent.
Be conquered within community, you know, kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. I guess I should have clarified that the aliens do, in fact, read English.
Do they have cookbooks?
Okay, you had a twofer. Did you have another
well,
one?
Well, so it just depends. Like, if are we getting Vulcans or Klingons? Because if it's the Klingons,
you don't know. That's
yeah.
The thing.
Yeah. If it's the Klingons,
just met them.
I would give them like cross, so that would be like maybe we shouldn't mess with these humans.
they'd be like,
we
are yeah. home.
Yeah, or they'd be like, wow, if they're willing to do that to themselves, let's not mess with them.
Get out of here.
But then if they were more peaceful, maybe Squirrel Girl. But maybe Squirrel Girl can quell the Klingons as well.
That's the thing. It's
yeah.
just you know,
yeah.
it's good, and she kind of talks everybody out of doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, next question, Chris. Riddle me this: what comic would you like to see drawn in another artist's style?
So, I had two quickies. One of them would be Mike Mignola's My Little Pony.
Ooh!
Oh my gosh!
And then the other one would be Otomo's X-Men. Otomo's the fellow who did Akira. So I would like to see something completely different for the X-Men, and getting somebody like that to do that would be, it would make everyone stop and be like, what? What's this? So yeah, those two would be my things.
Cool. Nicole, do you have an answer for this question?
Mine's kind of halfy because it's Brittany Williams doing her Daily Planet that
yes.
she already does online but is never published. Like if DC was actually like, you will be our all-age Superman thing.
It'd
yes.
be the greatest
it would
thing
be like,
ever.
Ah.
So is she an illustrator?
Yeah,
or?
She's doing the new Patsy Walker series for
okay.
Marvel that hasn't come out yet.
Soon.
And she just does these great little snippets of Superman, like Lois Lane. Superman looks great,
yeah.
like total like
big dork.
Yeah, it's really endearing. It's really endearing, and I wish that it was like a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, mm-hmm. Cole, do you want to see Chip Zdarsky draw Batman or what's
going on? No, I'm just, you know, I'm not a fan.
Now you want Mike Mignola ponies.
Oh, you just derailed me on that one. I love that idea. I was thinking of
let's start a writing campaign.
Of Mike Golden doing something. I was thinking Mike Golden doing something obscure and making it marvelous, like Mike Golden doing Agents of Atlas.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because back in the 80s, he had this very airy, incredibly detailed style where it was before we got bombarded with manga and this that fine line between cute and graphic. I just loved his style so much, but I'd love to see him do something, take something that would be maybe hard and harsh and make it gentle. I'm thinking of Bucky O'Hare's Space Rabbit
right.
and stuff like that.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So this next question is actually influenced by some anecdotes that I've heard. A friend of mine actually, when she was reading Game of Thrones, when she came upon the Red Wedding, threw the book across the room.
Mm.
I've never read Game of Thrones, and I haven't seen that part in the TV show yet, so I don't know what's going
well,
on.
It'll
also,
mess with your head, that's for darn sure.
Stephen Tobolowsky, in his podcast, said that when he first read the script for Groundhog Day, he threw it across the room because he was so angry at how good it was.
Oh.
Now, let me ask you all this. Have you ever thrown a comic across the room for what reason or another while you were reading it, Nicole?
No, because I knew it would get damaged, even though I was yeah. mad about it. I think it was Batwoman, and I think it was issue 15.
Did you just like slam it down on the
I
table
did,
next
I did
to
like
you?
A flailing out, like
what happened in 15? Was that
something when the stupid that I
bad did. Characterization.
It was bad characterization. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was like she just was saying something that was stupid. That was just like, Kate wouldn't say that.
Okay.
What are y'all doing? And that was the beginning of the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Cole Hornaday.
I'm sorry. I've probably harped on this cord long enough, but
it's across. It's crossed, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, actually, I think I may have thrown it across the room because I realized that it might infect me somehow. That whatever was within the paper was going to seep into my soul and.
All right, Chris Cusso.
I've never done that with a book because I knew if I the first time I did that, then sooner or later my walls would just be full of these little pock marks.
Yeah.
I almost did it to a game. That's the closest I've ever done it. It was Dark Souls.
Yep.
That's stupid.
You got to the end of it and
No, the game doesn't like save, and so like if you get to a certain point and die, you start all the way to the beginning. And like
that's ridiculous.
I can't control the guys the way that I should, and I just suck at it. But like that game is designed to make you hate life. And I know like most people who like it are the kind of people that are like, oh man, you're just not a good gamer. Just like,
which is obnoxious.
Yeah. So yeah, not so much with comics because I kind of try to control that part. But you know.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever thrown a book, comic or otherwise, across the room because I would be afraid of breaking something.
Right.
But I have like closed it in anger. You
know? Good day, sir. Good day. I said good day.
You just and put it on the night side, but you sit there and you think about what you
you stare at that corner.
A tree was murdered for you.
I just punish them by taking them back to the used bookstore.
Oh, there you go.
So they'll be homeless and they'll have something to think about for a very long time.
I shred comics in the store because we can actually send them back.
Are you serious?
Because we can send them back sometimes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's very therapeutic depending on the comic.
God, I can't imagine how good that must feel sometimes.
I know, right?
Oh, we did that. Didn't we do that with the Convergence?
Oh, yeah, with the core Convergence title.
Yeah, and it was just like, let me do it.
Just put them through the paper shredder?
No, we got to rip the cover off and then return the cover.
And then you can shred it?
Well, we could.
We could.
Yeah, we could.
We just threw them
or I think we should have an episode where we just shred stuff and talk about how we feel.
That would that would probably be a pretty popular GIF to see a cover of Convergence just going through a paper shredder.
Mm-hmm. Can we like schedule this?
This should be a moment of zen that we record and put at the end of the podcast, you know?
Oh, yes.
You guys, I'm like, you know, I'm not kidding around.
Well, as it gets colder and colder, we can do the bonfire ideas. Just that all the toxic fumes from the ink.
Yeah, gotta we can do inside.
That paper's not made from trees, I'll tell you that. All right, moving on. What would be the coolest crossover that has not happened, either yet or will ever? Chris.
So this is one that was scheduled to happen, but it didn't come to fruition. Phil Jimenez pitched a Transformers Justice League crossover back pre-52, and there's artwork for it. He did designs, and he did one giant, colossal poster with every character imaginable. And it's awesome because there's a picture of Optimus Prime with a Green Lantern ring and Superman with Megatron with Superman's cape in his fist. And then you also see in the background Wonder Woman's Invisible Chet transformed. And so did a Batmobile. And that's just like, give me all of this. So like, if you Google this, you will find that picture like immediately. And it's just like something great that will never, ever happen.
All right, Cole, do you have one?
Yeah. My favorite comic characters are, you know, the romantic oddballs like Swamp Thing and Ben Grimm, Hellboy, and Paul Chadwick's Concrete. And I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be great if Paul Chadwick's Concrete and Ben Grimm crossed over together and just spent a day hanging out.
That's a pretty good pairing.
That's a good pairing, yeah.
Because they're polar opposite personalities, and yet they look so much alike,
right?
And they're kind of, they are, you know, reflections of one another.
You think they'd spark off, but then there'd be quiet moments of like, what do I say?
Yeah. And I think, and in Paul Chadwick's hands, I think it might be quite brilliant, actually.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Cool. All right, Nicole?
I tried to think about this ahead of time, but I really don't. I'm not a big crossover.
Just say Archie versus random comic in the shop.
No.
Jem and Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah. Nah.
Did Archie ever meet Scooby-Doo? Because those are two properties that are constantly meeting other people.
No, but Scooby-Doo just met the Spectre and Deadman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe if like Galactus came to the planet that Help Us Great Warrior lives on and like just ate some like taste cakes with her or something. I don't know.
Be pretty good.
I would love to see a crossover of characters that are analogs of each other.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
See how that, yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking the other backup story I was thinking was Man Thing and Swamp Thing.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like they wouldn't have a lot to talk about, right. But you know, because you can, in the right hands, in the right storyteller's hands. That don't burn it with fear.
What I want is for like some like interdimensional god who's really pissed off to just suddenly teleport Man Thing to like a Sinestro Corps meeting because they're all fear based.
Yes, yeah.
So he just like, steps into the room and it's just fire
burning down the house.
All right, and I'm gonna skip this one. So finally. Cole likes to pretend that the Western genre is on the rise.
I don't like
and
to pretend.
So,
I believe this will be a thing.
Can you recommend any good Western comics for me? Cole Hornaday.
There's a couple. Unfortunately, I'm going back in time, but one of my favorites was back in 1995 when Topps used to have its own comic publishing house, which is unfortunately very short-lived. And there was a Lone Ranger comic book drawn by Joe R. Lansdale and Tim Truman. And I never saw the potential of the Lone Ranger as a really Antano. It was Lone Ranger Antano an update of the characters to modern sensibilities, still in the same time setting as they originally were. Thoroughly enjoyed those stories, and then he did that series. He did a couple of mini series, and then jumped over to DC. Took that same sensibility and applied it to Jonah Hex with Riders of the Worm and such, and you know brought in H.P. Lovecraft themes. But I still have a great fondness for those Joe R. Lansdale, Tim Truman, Lone Ranger stories.
Cool. All right, Nicole.
I'm not a big fan of Western, but I like when there's like elements of it in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, East of West has some of that. Even mm-hmm. Preacher has some of that with mm-hmm. like the Saint of Killers stuff. Mm-hmm. Manifest Destiny is kind of Western.
It's pretty Western.
Yeah.
It's like horror Western.
Yeah. And so like, those ones are pretty cool. Like a straight, like I never read 1872. That was the Secret War stuff, but that was Western.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just depends. I think if they cross it with something, it's makes it more interesting.
Okay. A Western fusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, yeah. Chris.
One of my favorite Western fusions is The Sixth Gun from Oni, and it's one of my favorite comics as well, just because it's really weird supernatural horror, and it's following like these six haunted guns and these four horsemen trying to bring about the end of the world, and the guns do different things. It's really, really fun. I would also recommend Alejandro Jodorowsky's Bouncer. It's published by Humanoid Press, and Jodorowsky's a big Western fan. He did a movie called El Topo, which is like dark Western, vicious and violent.
Just freaking weird.
Weird. Oh, well, that guy's just weird at everything. Yeah, so yeah. Bouncer's very much just this, more of that, but beautiful art. And I'll also recommend Palmiotti and Gray's long run on Jonah Hex for DC right before the New 52. They had guest artists throughout it, and there were some consistent artists that were great, but some of those guest issues, like Darwin Cook did one that's amazing, J.H. Williams did a fantastic one where he got drugged and things got trippy, and they're like short stories, just short Western stories about Jonah Hex, who's just not a nice human, and really fun stuff.
Cool. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody. That's Rapid Fire for All. That's a new segment. And I think it went really well. I think it was a lot of fun. And also, not only is it fun to listen to, but it also shows how much you guys know. Mm. The depth of knowledge at this table is astounding. And let's move on to Book Report. Nicole, what do you want to recommend?
Or not recommend.
What do you want to talk about that you apparently didn't like?
Someone's getting spicy.
I read Limbo number one, the first issue by Dan Waters, and the art is by Caspar Wingard.
The great Wingard.
The Wingard. So, you can tell it's towards the end of the night here for us.
Yep.
Limbo, a guy who's in limbo, like a purgatory limbo.
Okay.
It's very crime noir. There's Dia de los Muertos happening in this place. It looks like New Orleans, but I guess it's not. It's just kind of boring.
And so it didn't grab you.
Is there a plot? They didn't really settle anything?
Yeah, it's like this guy's trying to figure out why he's here, and there's this girl who, it's like got supernatural elements too, where there's this girl who helped him out, and she like summoned some person by dancing to a song, and you're just like, okay, so that's a thing that happens here. And then like, I guess he's a PI, sort of, and so there's this, you know, femme fatale type character that comes and is like, help me out, there's this big... luchador guy who's like kind of this kingpin, and like he's up to some stuff.
Well, it looks like, really kind of like fun and kooky oddball stuff, but...
and like there's like this weird guy that comes out of a TV, and they're doing some weird spiritual something, and it's just like kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of some like crime lord kind of thing, but with a spiritual element, supernatural element. And a lot of people have picked it up, so it might just be like a me, doesn't do anything for me. I mean, usually it's this totally kind legit. Of stuff does, like all of these mm-hmm. elements mm-hmm. are elements I like. Mm-hmm. It's just done in a way that actually didn't just do anything for me, and I'm not entirely sure why. It just kind of, it felt like nothing really new or fresh to
me. I was going to ask, did it feel stale?
I think that's kind of why. It's kind of like I've kind of heard the story, but you put like just cool elements on top of it. Mm-hmm. So, meh.
All right, Limbo. Mm-hmm. Don't check it out.
Oh.
Or do whatever.
Or do, if that sounds like
don't check it out if you're Nicole. But if you're not Nicole, most of you aren't.
Most of you, I think.
Chris, what did you read?
This is kind of a multiple entry quick summary. So Justice League has been doing the Dark Side War, which is like an event within a title. And it's basically DC felt like sad because they screwed up Convergence and they... don't have a secret war. So Dark Side War is what they're doing. And it was okay because it was just in the main title. But then they're like, ooh, we need to like diverge this into a bunch of one-shots. And it's like, oh, fine, whatever. And some of them are okay. Some of them suck. It just depends on the creative team. The Batman one where he gains all the knowledge of the universe was entertaining. The Superman one where a pigeon convinces him to save the day was stupid and horrible. The Shazam one was interesting because he loses his connection to the gods and they're replaced with different gods. So he still has the name Shazam, but each letter is for a different god, including...
Are they alien gods or from
some of them? It's a mix mash. One of them is Darkseid's father, which everyone forgot was a thing. And it's like, well, that's kind of cool. So that was okay. Flash was not horrible, but it was a waste of time. And then Green Lantern was actually possibly the best thing DC's published in a year, short of the Shazam story that I loved. And guess what? It's the same artist. But it's written by a guy named Tom King. There's a Jeff King who sucks. Tom King does Jeff. Not. Sorry, wow. Jeff. Well, he did Convergence. And Tom King's really tight story, a lot of emotion. He understands Hal Jordan. And then Doc Shaner's artwork is amazing to me. It's clean. It's classic. And there's a story flow to it. So, yeah, if you want just a good self-contained Green Lantern story, the Dark Side War Green Lantern one-shot is possibly one of the best things they published this year.
Did I hear you correctly say it was one of the best things you thought DC published this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
Because it's self-contained and it's
pretty low mark, though.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, we've been spending, okay.
Yeah.
We've been devoting a lot of energy to Dissonon DC.
We took a break, you know. We took some breaks.
No. Ben and I went and did a couple of plays. We took a break.
Wednesday, I just slammed.
We would just call each other up and like, hey, let's razz on DC, dude. Oh, yeah.
There's still one more of these to come out for Lex Luthor, so I'm not complete. But
okay.
Whatever.
All right. Cool. All right. Cole Hornaday, what about you?
Well, I recently read Steve Niles and Damian Worm's The October Faction, published by, The October Faction. I can't read the title because the font's all goobery. Published by IDW. This is a trade that collects first six issues of the series. I came across a listicle like on IO9 about a month ago that listed all, you know, the best horror comics that you're not reading. And
they seem to have a lot of those.
Yeah, and this is not one of them.
Yeah. We're very sassy this evening.
So wait, was it not on the list?
No, it was on the list, but it was not one of the best comic books I'm not reading. Best horror comic books I'm not reading.
You wish wish you didn't read it.
there was a book that Vertigo or DC printed, published about 10 years ago, called Midnight Mass.
Oh, I missed that one.
But it was about a family of monster hunters. Yeah. And that's the plot of October Faction. It's a family of monster hunters. Midnight Mass was far more successful, far more clever, and had better constructed characters. I think what... Steve Niles is somebody that I've always been a supporter of, but he's just so hit or miss, and frequently he's more miss than hit for me.
Yeah.
He tries to rewrite horror tropes, and he always fails. He approaches a horror genre, the mummy story, the vampire story, the Frankenstein story, and tries to do his own spin on it, and it always is very hollow. And
he has no momentum to the spin.
And this has momentum for me. The son and the daughter character are starting to get compelling, interesting by the sixth issue, the sixth installment. I think another thing that bothers me is this illustrator who calls himself Damien Worm. I'm sorry, I can't begin to tell you how pretentious that is if you're a horror illustrator, because I do not believe that.
Maybe it's his actual last name. You know.
Then I owe Damien Worm an apology.
He's like the Temple Smith that Niles isn't working with anymore.
Right.
He is one of a handful of...
The Temple Smith that once was.
Thank you for actually, because I was trying to remember artists that he is borrowing from unsuccessfully.
Well, see, IDW, if they had a house style, would be the Ashley Wood, Ben Temple Smith style.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And every time Steve Niles does a thing, it has to look like that.
Right.
Because for whatever reason, I don't know if he chooses that or IDW does. But after a while, you're just like, oh, it's another one of these guys. It's not the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
The problem is like he's not doing fresh takes on things.
No.
And he loves this genre. I mean, it's very close, near and dear for him.
He needs to take a break and write like more romantic fiction. BDSM stories or something. But shake it out.
He'll do is he'll do a sci-fi with vampires in space. You know, that's what it'll do.
Too bad.
Which he actually just kind of did.
Broken Moon.
Okay. Well, yeah. But I thoroughly have enjoyed the Frankenstein series he's been doing with Bernie Wrightson.
It's not finished.
That will probably never be finished because Bernie's health is rapidly declining.
Yeah. Right.
Which is a true tragedy in comics because that book has so much promise.
And Bernie Wrightson is amazing.
His artwork was so inspired in that series.
I was just going to say, I mean, I'm looking at the cover here, and if you close your eyes a little bit, it's very resembling of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
All right. So
October Faction. No.
So wow, a lot of no's this time for Book Report. One very enthusiastic yes from Chris for the Dark Side of Green Lantern.
For the Green Lantern. Cool. Yeah.
All right. And so that's Book Report, and that's our show. But before we go, of course, we play quiz time. Get your quiz hats on, everybody. This week, the questions come from, I'm going to read them, but they come from your pal Buzzy, who is a frequent quiz contributor and a good friend of ours. And I will admit, I just kind of glossed over the questions when he sent them. I'm like, he says questions, so I'm just going to read them. With some of these may be duplicates. I think we've had these, not specifically these questions, but some of them may feel very familiar to us. So it'll be very easy this week. It's called Femme Fatale Film Flops. Modern fans are clamoring for film adaptations featuring female heroes. Black Widow, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, what's taking so long? Well, Hollywood has a pretty crummy track record when it comes to bringing comic heroines to the silver screen. These questions pertain to films featuring female comic characters, all of which lost a lot of money. Number one, this 1995 cult favorite takes place on a water-starved future Earth and features amusing supporting performances by Malcolm McDowell and Ice-T. Chris Casso.
Tank Girl.
Yes, sir. Number two. In 1989, somebody thought the story of Brenda Starr, Ace Reporter, was ready for the big screen. Audiences everywhere did not agree. Name the blue jean model who starred as Brenda
Shields.
All right. Cole Hornaday. For a bonus point, Mr. Hornaday, name the future James Bond who played Brenda's love interest. Whose name was Basil? It's a guy who played James Bond. Just pick one.
It's Timothy Dalton.
Yes, it is. Number three. This 2004 stinker won four Golden Raspberry Awards. including Worst Actress for the film's lead. To her credit, the Oscar-winning actress did appear at the awards ceremony to accept her Razzie in person. Name this film, which took nothing from the original source material except the lead character's name, Chris.
Catwoman.
Yes, sir.
Oh. That's what I was thinking of. Oh.
Yeah. Bonus point, who was the actress?
Halle Berry.
Yes, sir. All right, number four. This 2005 misstep is based on a Marvel Comics anti-hero. The tale of the daughter of a Greek ambassador who trained to be a ninja assassin failed to generate much excitement at the box office. Chris and Cole, say it together.
Elektra.
Yes, sir. Number five. In 1984, Warner Brothers released Supergirl. The less said about this film, the better. Instead, for a half point each, name Supergirl's pet horse and pet cat from her Silver Age comic.
Well, the kitty was Streaky.
And the horse was Comet.
Yes, sir. That's quiz time, and that's our show. Thank you for listening. You can see everything Cole Horn today and I do at the at theperfectbumpodcast.com, where we do it with, we record the podcast with Chris and Nicole, but also at thepaneljumper.com.
That's right.
You can email us any other quiz questions you might want to have. If you have a question about comics or why something is the way it is, or if you want to get these guys' opinion on something,
you want to get to the truth.
Get to the truth. Get email your truth seeking question to perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. You can come to the Comics Dungeon at 319 Northeast 45th Street, where you will probably find a hysterical Cole Hornaday. I don't think he's going to be able to leave. He's been laughing for the last 5 minutes.
You know, you guys should be grateful I'm actually happy for once.
We are always grateful for that, sir. Alright, and you can also come to the Comics Dungeon 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Leave us a review on iTunes, subscribe to us, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.